Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So we're going to be in Psalms 103 this morning. Psalms 103, 1 through 5. Psalms 103, 1 through 5. And it's a lot this morning. I thought about breaking it in two parts, but the Lord wouldn't let me. So hang on to your seats. If you're students of the Word, I ask you to take good notes. So just give it time to get your pen and pencil out and paper. I do not have any sermon notes. I'll be honest with you, I'm running out of time through the week. That was a great, grand idea that I had. I liked it, especially when we're going through the book of Hebrews and we're actually studying through Hebrews. I really enjoyed that, putting the sermon notes together. So maybe we'll bring that back at another time. Right now, this is what we got. So, Psalms 103, 1 through 5. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time as always. And we just love you, and thank you for the folks that are here and not here. And Lord, I just pray for all the unspoken prayer requests and the ones that were shared during Sunday school and here. And Lord, I just lay those at the foot of the cross and ask for your guidance and your mercy and your wisdom. And Lord, you help us live this life. Help us do what you've called us to do at Pauline Baptist Church and in our individual lives. Father, we trust you. We thank you for living America. Thank you for a great 4th of July. And Lord, help me with this word this morning. Bless this time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody here? Raise your hand. Okay, just making sure. Psalms 103, 1 through 5. Let's read. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Everybody said amen? Amen. Today's sermon is titled, Five Believer Benefits. And there's a lot of different benefits in being a Christian, being a follower of Christ. But in this scripture right here, in Psalms 103, 1 through 5, it lists five benefits. So we're going to go through these five benefits. Now, Christian research tells us that for most people, the reason they get saved or become born-again believers is to avoid hell. I guess there's nothing wrong with getting a little fire insurance, right? So, but they say that the remaining top five reasons that people become a born-again believer is, in a nutshell, they're looking for God to do something for them. Right? Now, we all know that it's really the Holy Spirit that draws people into salvation. John chapter 6, verse 64 says this. No one, now this is Jesus talking now, ready? So again, put your student hat on this morning because we're going to talk a lot of scriptures. So I'll just give you the scripture name. You can look it up later. We'd be here for 2 hours if we looked up every scripture in the Bible. Everybody okay with that? So we're going to teach. John 6, 44 says, Jesus says, No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. So why does God need to draw us into salvation? Simply put, if he didn't, we wouldn't do it. We would not come to God. Jesus explains this, that no man can come to the Father lest he draws them. John chapter 6, verse 65 says, and he said, therefore I said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. You see, the natural man has no ability to come to God. We don't even have the desire. Natural, unbelieving man doesn't even have the desire to want to come to God. Okay? The Bible is real clear about that because it says the heart is hard and the mind is darkened. The un- regenerate person doesn't have a desire. They're actually an enemy of God. And this sounds kind of, for some of you, this might sound different. Well, it's the truth. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So therefore, it is only by the merciful, graceful drawing of God that we are saved. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, here's the beautiful part. Ready? That's all beautiful, but as soon as we step out in faith and accept God's offer, His precious gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the Bible says we become children of God. We become His children. Now, I have a long scripture here, but I want you to hang with me. Here it is, Romans 8, 14 through 17. Romans 8, 14 through 17, and listen up. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption. Your adoption to sonship. And by Him we now cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are now God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. This is great news. So in this message this morning, I want to focus on five of the benefits. Everybody say benefits. The benefits of being children of God. And like I said, there's many benefits. But in Psalms 103, right here, it focuses on five. So let me go through these five. The five benefits of being a believer. If you're taking notes, here they are. Number one, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Number two, healing. Healing. Number three, redemption. Redemption. And number four, satisfaction. Satisfaction. So we have forgiveness, healing, redemption, and satisfaction. So let's look at verse 1. Verse 1 says it uses the word bless. Okay, if you look up that word in the Hebrew, that word bless means to bow your head or to bend at your knees in honor and in respect. Now really think about that for a minute. It's like even the Oriental folks now still do it. You know, they'll bow their head in respect, you know, of the person that's like, bless you, I'm blessing you, bless you. Even back in the day when they had to bow before the king, right? I mean, they had to get on their knee and bow before the king. It's a symbolic of being humble, of being broken, of being willing to serve. It's like I love to see when the deacons come up here, you know, at the beginning of the service, what do? They bow on their knees in reverence and respect and honor of God Almighty, because we're beginning to start the service where hopefully we lift up the name of Jesus, right? And we honor God. So that's their way of, you know, of bowing, of blessing. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. So here we got something else, verse 1. Now we're looking at, O my soul. Remember, if you've been in the teachings that I've taught, you know, before, the soul means what? Mind, will, and emotions. That's my understanding from the theological study of this. You can look up the Greek or Hebrew, it's all basically the same. It talks about your mind, your will, and your emotions. So my soul, the mind is how you think, the will is what you do, And your emotions is how you feel. So what the scripture right away is advising us, is telling us that we need to bow. We need to humble ourselves. I need to humble myself in my soul. In other words, I need to get up every morning and humble myself and bow before the Lord in the way I think, in what I do, and how I feel. I need to be mindful of that. So, the easiest way to do that is to remember the benefits that God offers to His children. And there's five benefits. Number two, verse two, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all the benefits." Forget not. Everybody say that with me. Forget not. One more time. Forget not. Forget not. So guess what? He doesn't want us to do what? Forget. That's not rocket science there, right? So forget not. I mean, forget not these benefits. So let's look at these five real quick. The first one is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Verse 3. It says, we'll look at the part A of verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities. Does he say he forgives some of them? Most of them? Or, you know, he forgives all of them, but those ones that were really bad. I'm not sure if he's going to forgive those. Is that what the Bible's teaching us? No. It says God, he says he forgives all your iniquities. Christian believer, God has forgiven your sins. He has cast them as far as the east is the west. He has not only forgiven you, He has forgotten those sins. And you will never be held accountable for those sins. They will not be held against you. The sins of your past, your present, and even your future were paid for on the cross by our Savior, our High Priest, Jesus Christ. The Bible even says they were nailed to the cross. Colossians 2:14. Let me read. It says, Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemning us, He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Praise the Lord. You're jumping up out of your seat for that one. He has nailed it to the cross. As you get up each morning, you need to remind yourself. You need to remind yourself of who you are in Christ Jesus. Yes, you're a sinner, but you're saved by grace. You're a child of the living God. The line of the tribe of Judah lives inside of you. You've been adopted into the family of God and sealed by the precious Holy Spirit. Amen. John 10:28-30, which part of this is our memory verse today. I can't hardly read this without getting very emotional about this. Please listen to what Jesus is telling us right here. John 10:28-30. Listen closely. I know you all have ears, but I need all of you to listen. This is Jesus saying, "I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father are one." That is comforting to me. Jesus, give us eternal life. And no one, nothing can pluck us out of His hand. He loves you with an everlasting love. My friends, I want you to rest in the arms of our Heavenly Father. He loves you, and His grace is sufficient for us all. Benefit one. Here's benefit two. Healing. Healing is benefit number two. Okay, verse 3 says, the part B, who heals all your diseases. Does it heal all our diseases? Yes! The exact same way he heals all of our sins. Yes, He heals. Does God still heal people today? Absolutely He does. If He wants to, if it's according to His will and purposes, absolutely God heals. If you look up that word heal in the Hebrew, this is what it means. Now, I can't speak Hebrew or Greek, but I just look it up on my computer and then I come and tell you about it. But I like doing that. It's kind of cool, you know. And it just, you get a deeper meaning of that, you know. So the word heal in the Hebrew means to make healthy. To make healthy physically or emotionally. So all throughout the Bible, God healed people physically, even unbelievers. Look it up. I believe if it is His will, He can heal you physically on this earth. If He does not, if it's not His will right now, when you get to heaven, you will be healed. We can't just think right here on this little puff of fog, smoke that we have right here on this earth. We can't think just this little 30, 40, 50 years, 80 years we have. Jesus died on the cross and healed us. There's no cancer in heaven. There's no diabetes in heaven. There's no muscular dystrophy in heaven. There's no autoimmune diseases in heaven. There's no heart disease in heaven. There's no diseases in heaven. Jesus paid that price too. We just talked about it in Sunday school. I was jumping out of my seat over there about saying something when I couldn't. I had to be quiet. But Isaiah 53:5, right? Says, but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His stripes we are healed. We're healed. If you got something going on, something in your family, God's healed you. It just may be now, it may be later, it may be much later. But there's no sickness and no diseases in heaven. You get amen? Amen. Now, concerning emotional healing, I have seen it in what I've been doing in the last so many years. I've seen people healed from emotional hurts by confessing their sins to one another. Should we confess our sins to one another? Absolutely. Sometimes it's as simple as letting go of those old hurts by telling another human being. I've seen that so many times. I want you to know, y'all look at me. There is nothing that you have been through that someone else hadn't already been through. And most of them got over it. You know, they say we're as sick as our secrets. So if you've got past hurts, the first good step is to definitely give it over to the Lord. That sounds good, and yes, that's true. But the Bible talks about sharing with one another. So find a trusted friend, trusted pastor, or trusted counselor, or someone, and talk to another human being about that. James chapter 5, verse 16 clears that right up. I'm going to quote it to you. James 5, 16. I'm going to read it to you. Here it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Amen? Now, I also believe that physical and emotional healing comes through proper eating, exercising, and rest. I've seen that so many times in my life, and things are going better for me personally in that area. I'm feeling much better since I started doing some different things. I fell off the wagon when we went to Canada, but anyway, I'm back on now. But as we get up each morning, we need to ask God for the strength to make good quality decisions about our day, especially when it comes to what we think, if what we do, and how we feel. Everybody good? So remember, God has forgiven us, He's healed us, and the third benefit is redemption. Redemption. Okay, verse 4. It says that who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. See, every human being is in desperate need of redemption. Our natural condition is characterized by guilt. We are guilty. We are born into sin. Therefore, we desperately need a Savior. We need to be redeemed. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, this word redemption means to buy out. It means to buy out. It's a term that was used for like purchasing of a slave's freedom. So, if we are redeemed, then that means our prior condition was of slavery. And Jesus paid the price to redeem us. Amen? This is resulting of our freedom from slavery and sin, and He rescued us from the consequences of this sin. Went into detail now in the Vacation Bible School. So, to be redeemed means to be forgiven, justified, freed, adopted, and reconciled to God. Amen? Now, the fourth benefit. So praise God, I'm redeemed. I love that Big Daddy Weave song, right? Redeemed's been around for a while now. It's still one of my top 11 songs. I can't resist. Fourth and final one. Everybody ready? Stretch. Fourth one. Fourth benefit. And the final one is satisfaction. Okay, verse 5 says, it says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, honestly, this verse had me a little stumped. It required a lot more study than all the other ones combined. I read a lot of commentaries and a lot of different things and studying this. And if you look at verse 5, it says, who satisfies your mouth with good things? I'm like, man. I kept asking the Lord to show me what this means. It's got to be a lot more than just, you know, God wants to just supply us with a whole bunch of worldly good things. And I'm glad He does, aren't you? I'm glad I have a nice house and dependable transportation and clothes. But this scripture had to be more. Then I started digging into this word mouth. It's kind of an odd thing, right? Mouth. Look at the Hebrew. And here's what it came up with. And I've never seen this or heard this before. So here it was. This word mouth in the Hebrew means ornaments or trappings. You know what trappings is? Ornaments or trappings. And here's something that came to me too, is if you ever get that taste in your mouth for wealth and power, that's a hard one to shake off. So be careful of that. The word trappings, since originally describes the decorations people attach to their horse's bridle. You know, the bridle and the bit that goes in the mouth. So originally trappings, that's what that meant. They would decorate the horse's bridle with all kinds of fancy ornaments and beads and this kind of thing. And if they're really fancy, if they're really, you know, woo, right? Then they would start decorating their saddles of their horses with beautiful beads and ornaments and flower, colorful, just really, really decorate them. And I found out that the goal was to make a statement about the rider's power and privilege. They could ride on this horse, was decorated, and they would tell the people that this was a person of influence and power and wealth and money. Today we still have trappings, don't we? We still have trappings, but they take other forms, such as Lamborghinis and Rolls Royce and Bentleys and $1,000 suits and $100 and $200 shirts with logos on them, and, you know, right? Expensive $1 million homes and big giant diamonds and all these different things. These are trappings. Trappings are material items that tell the world that someone has money, influence, power, but it does not speak into anything about what's going on inside that person. See, I believe in studying this verse that it's telling us that God, listen closely, that God will satisfy that desire to be somebody important or to look like you're successful. Jesus is all we need. Mr. Jesse says this a lot. But Jesus is all we need to satisfy that need to be recognized or to be respected. God is the only one. God is the only one that we need to answer to or to try to impress somewhat anyway. He is the only one. We should place our entire self-worth in Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross. Place your whole self-worth, everything who you are as a human being, place it in Jesus Christ. Your identity in Christ. God looks at our heart, not the outside stuff. 1 Samuel 16:7. Y'all know the story. They're looking for the new king. 1 Samuel 16:7. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at.'" People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Guys, we must realize that there is someone greater than people or possessions that can truly satisfy us. God offers Himself in the person of Christ. Jesus exceeds our expectations. Christ alone can provide the satisfaction and joy that we desperately seek. Three quick questions, because the Bible's full of glorious promises. Three quick verses. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. For he satisfies a longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Guys, as I close, seeking satisfaction in Christ alone serves two purposes. It's for our good, and it's for the glory of God. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. You see, we reap the benefits of knowing and loving and delighting in Jesus. The Father gives us peace that surpasses all understanding and provides all of our needs according to His riches. No good thing is withheld from us, and all things work together for the good of those according to His purpose, living in the light of these truths. Listen closely to this. Living in the light of these truths proclaims to a discontent world that Jesus is better than anything the world has to offer. As we look to Jesus to make us truly happy, we can also proclaim to the world that Christ can truly satisfy us. He has met our needs. So as we get up each morning, let us remember that God has forgiven us. He has healed us. He has redeemed us. And He has satisfied us. Jesus is all we need. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the liberating power. Lord, we love You. We thank You. Father, if there's one here this morning that does not know You as their personal Savior, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that during this time of invitation, that You would draw them. That You would draw them to the cross. Lord, they could come down here, and I'd be glad to pray with them. We can settle that today. They can become children of God, adopted into the family of God, secure. They can say that their home, their eternal home, is heaven. And trust You, and Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.